Well, welcome back, Kirby. Great to have you.
What?
Welcome back. Great to have you.
Yeah. Don't worry. Don't. I'm a seichel. Ata tzrichim onu lovoy el adayga zman en neshama vaguf umatzaveh mashenim ha'enu. So now we described before that there are different kufis, and each one has its own unique characteristics. What are they? Before we get on, we're going to have another akdama. Vehu, kizeh poshet, shahar bechukim medrochim har betzrichim, kein lahashuch on yonah adam. There are many things needed, many elements needed to be mashlim a person. Ulechol in yonah abriya b'chol zmaneya. It says, Rabba says, Ata Hashem, Lekain, if Lesser Mashmo Secho. Venema Magola Masach Hashem, Morabu Masach Hashem, Goyma. Ach, Al Kolpanim, Sor Shira Protim Nichnosim, Reboint Arsaklolim. We need that all the Protim should be part of the Klolim. Vakol Yuko Kach, Al Protim Shira Rabbin, Vyasko, this is Sorya Kuhab Yazos. So he reiterates the point that he makes.
We just finished Pei Beis.
You know, so he says like this, there are many, many details needed to be mashal person. If you list the details, they'll never end. But the idea is to have as few klolim as you can that include in themselves all the pratim. Amar neshama, ze poshet vare. Ain pratim shen olem klolim. All details come from a klal. Mashapotim yagim adas the kapsum are called lechem heim elab the kabloisa. Alkein ata klolim so klod of lacha prophet. I want to add a horror on this point. He says that yes, we should look for the klol, not for the protim. There's a chazal, there's a sifri in Hazinu that says a person should always be machnis divrei Torah klolim. So that seems to be a very, very. It's sort of a helpful guide. But I want to be misamic a little bit in this, because there's more to this in the following way. It is possible to have a person who does many things and they don't have a clout. I can list a person who's erratic, who's crazy. That's sort of what makes him erratic and crazy, is unpredictable. You can't predict from one to the other. So this person's actions during a day are 1,000 separate ma'isim, and no klal gadol unless being meshuggah is a klal. But other than that, there's no klal. A person who is not crazy can do things that fall along a certain curve, but they won't always fit into a klal. Things that are a shayrish of chachma, in other words, math, geometry, everything, every prat must come from a klal, because that's the nature of something that's rigidly sichlius. It's all echreah. So these five klalim will produce every logical offshoot, and everything is a logical offshoot only if it comes from that, and it doesn't exist. A statement geometry that can't boil down to its shroshim is not a valid statement, and so on. It is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chochmasa Yisbarach that the world was created in a way that everything that happens is a prat that emanates from a cloud. In other words, when we talk about 10 spheres, 10 is a number that expresses Chlolius, because 10 becomes 1. In other words, all 10 items are mitzarev to 1 tens, and 10 tens are mitzarev to 100, and so on. So you always have the tziruf of pratim into kololim as being the core of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hanhaga. That's why he made 10 spheres, because it allows us to boil everything down to one of these 10 spheres, and all 10 together to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is not just a good tool for studying efficiently. It goes to the very heart of understanding that the world is built with Chachma. Klal and Prat is a very, very core element of Chachma. It means that everything follows from something else. It's not it's not its own world. It's a particular example of a more klalistic atura.
It's also 10 fingers, 10 toes.
What?
10 fingers, 10 toes.
It's the other way around. It is true that we use tens
because we have 10 fingers, 10 toes because
right,
that's the
right,
expression.
You know, it's, right, right. So Hakadosh gave us a very handy way, and for those, you
no
know,
pun intended.
What? No pun intended. And you know, it's Akapanim.
There wasn't a decimal system first developed by the Arabs. I guess we do have in the Torah a decimal system.
No, you have the klal of 10 was the system of putting of the numeration system, the system of numeration that you know how to use the symbols.
Mathematics.
That was late, but the idea that after 10 you get 11 and 12, and which is really a repeat of 10, you know. That 10 is a basic number, and everything else becomes, it was the most common, and for good, you know.
Think about
just like Rosh Chodesh, Esa, Hatzah, yes, think about math.
The thing about math is that there are unlimited possibilities of what numbers and additions and, you know.
But
like,
they all follow rules, the same rules. In other
right,
words.
That's why I'm saying with that Daphne, like, you study the rules and then everything else falls into place. You're a kid, you have to study multiplication tables, you know. You memorize first the details and afterwards you kind of
right.
The cloud. But with other areas of life, you could memorize, you know, much more like all the.
But it's a mark of chachma. That's something which engineered with chachma, like science, will have klolim. And then the point of science is to find out the minimum amount of klolim that will explain all the pratim, that will account for the pratim, right?
Occam's razor.
Yes, and therefore to have a law, to have something float around that's unrelated to anything else and doesn't really come to something else is contrary to what you feel is should be. Whereas the much of philosophy. It's you can't box it in, and everyone has their own klolim, and then some part to make sense, some part don't make sense. You know, you try to do it because it's erech hacham, but it doesn't have the exactitude that something like math or physics would have. Okay.
Although ironically, this would be philosophy. You know, the very system that the Ramchal adopted to analyze things logically was an Aristotelian system.
Correct. So I was saying that type of light where they try to make their absolute, it doesn't make sense. That there are absolute klolim. But yes, Aristotle tried to do that way, and Ramchal is extremely structured. And as regards to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's picture for the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan for the world included klolim that became pratim. Which is the Chazal we mentioned before. So we start with two midas. They are the root cause of Gufa Neshama. So everything is going to come out of those two klolim, and these two klolim cover everything. Yes. I'm sorry?
Kal and Prat are also relative terms. Like, Torah Shabbat is like Gemara to.
Well, it's like a branches.
Correct.
They're, it's like a tree. You have the tree, the trunk, you have the main branches, then you have the branches come from the branches, and so on.
Right. So, like, the more you are, the more, like, the Prat become Kal and you delve deeper.
Right.
Deeper.
Now, this is fascinating also that everything is boiled down to these two midas. First of all, if you think about it, it's really one mida. The mida is gilui, and it could be either yes gilui or no gilui. That's what it all boils down to. If you think that it's very strange that you can express an entire universe with these two things, I have news for you. a computer expresses everything through the computer language has two states, on and off. That's the environment, and everything, every picture gets expressed by that. It's every picture is just a question of which pixels are on, which pixels are off. Every single bit of what?
Yeah, all of artificial intelligence, all of virtual reality, all of that
everything
is zeros and ones.
Is expressed by that. Right. So Betzim, the beauty of it is, it boils down to one meter of Gilui, and the two states of it is yes or no. So there are three things that we need to understand. Understanding the midah of Gilui and the midah of Iskasia, that's one element. The way in which they work in tandem to be megala, the good cop, bad cop arrangement, to be megala, what Kashmir wants to be megala. And finally, what are the branches that come out of these two midas when they come out? And the truth is, the language changes. But the language changes, but all of the midas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings into the Bria are through what's called zivuk, which means a matching of two midas together, an integration of two midas together. So what all the Kabbalah sermon, they speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bringing something into the Bria. It's the zivug of different types of midas. Mida A with Mida B, this Indian with that Indian.
Jin and Rachamim, that would fall under that?
Yeah, they have different, it has a little bit different names of zivugim, but Al Kapanim, that is what creates different phenomena. Oma Neshama Mispanena Sine Achashamat Toskashbroch Laharois. So he says, I take a look at the person himself, I see these two midas. This is like this. We have the two halakim lamala, we have a lamata. The guf is a hester, the neshama is a gilu. We have the two together. When we live, it's because somehow they can work in tandem. But do we have something that is a sort of flow of all these things? What are the branches that emanate from that mahala? Yes, even in this, you will find something in the human features that is the product of Guf and Sham together. It says something fascinating. So besides the guf as it physically is a guf, and besides the neshama, which is a neshama and has its own tzura, the tzura of a person's face, the ha'ara of the face, is something that's a product of the two. This is where chai differs at a mace. You even see the gradations. When a person is dead, you see it in his face. But even when a person is not so dead, he's a shtickel dead, he's sick. But a person who's sick, where there's a lack of chiyus, he looks weaker. You see machshava. Everything that's doing inside reflects up in the face. They all give away the machshavas you're thinking. You don't have that ha'ar in neshama. You can't say a neshama's complexion is never pale or ruddy. I'm not sort of using it as a curio. So you see that Nevi'im, when they tried to when they gave over the Nevuah to Klal Yisrael, the Mashal HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with a different Tzura. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was stern, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was happy. All of these are sort of they're parallel to what we call our Aspanim. Correct. So that's where I can put some on my face also, but the fact that it naturally portrays that is means that it's you know.
What about in chinuch, like when you're supposed to show like you're upset, even though inside you're not really upset.
So that's not what it means. Is being upset in a way that I sort of lose control of myself has no makom. I need to use it as a midah. So it's not faking it. When I'm upset with Talmidim, I'm not meant to fake it. I'm meant to be in control where I don't need to emote, but I'm doing it because I need them to understand there is something wrong.
So in a certain sense, that's the ultimate Tzuruli Yotzer. In other words, like Kadosh Baruch Hu has no need.
Correct. Good point. Good point. Yes, correct. It's something which
Kadosh Baruch Hu himself has no need.
Right. And the Rambam says that. The Rambam says that we have a chiv to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midos. First and foremost is that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't lose his temper, so too we don't lose our temper. In other words, not losing temper, sorry, everything starts with seichel.
We're not get driven by our emotions.
Right, we're not driven, we use our emotions. So Lamarche, let's give an example. If a kid does something that's cute and funny, but something he shouldn't have done, so my natural reaction is to laugh, what is that? But if a seichel drive, it's able to say, what am I supposed to show my child now? My feeling that it's a cute shtick, or my sense that it's not appropriate what he did? I need to show him it's not appropriate what he did. Or the other way around, teenager did something bad, but what'll keep him straight and narrow is that. So I need to say to myself, what is the appropriate projection that I need to make over here? That's the question. So he says,
your face is more of a vehicle for your emotions.
For portrayal, of course. I mean, if I want to know is the person really happy or not, the press release doesn't do it. It's the body language, and the body language doesn't come near to the facial language. So yes, an actor could maybe disguise it, but it's very hard. The natural reaction of the person is the face. So he says, So, Avkan, we have a description of the parallels of these hanhagis with Adam and so on. By the way, let's stop. There's the pasuk says by by Maamar HaSinai, it says the lashon is lemantia yir osay al pneichem kol hayom. So in the Mishkanah, that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants the yira to be on the face of Gaisel. So Rashi says, as Chazal, what's the yira al pneichem? What's the yira al panim? That is busha. In other words, there's a type of yira that is a fear of a physical consequence. So the marshal, if I see a bear coming after me, so the fear is I might be decimated, I might become bear supper, so I run. I can tell that I'm scared from the bear, because I go about 5 times as fast as I've gone. I'm sweating bullets, I'm turning white and red and so on and so forth. Those are all, that's yira, that's not al aponim. But if I confront somebody who really is sort of, I don't know if it's threatening, but is making me uncomfortable with my conscience and so on, that's a yira al aponim. That's something where it shows itself on the face. Because why am I embarrassed? I always use this as a marshal, as I don't know if the word proof is right, but a way to perceive how the neshama go from a chuber. Let's say somebody catches me stealing or doing something I shouldn't do, and it's not a matzav way to go to police. It's not a matzav way to get in trouble. Nothing. I still will be very, very, very embarrassed. Why? Because my ruchnistic senses are attached to my body, and a sense of being a failing in ruchnias expresses itself in my face, and that's the yira al panim means busha. It means that wow, I'm very, very it's a sense of fright. Not for a physical consequence, but a sense of fright for a ruch as a consequence. That I'm kind of, I feel that I'm oismensch, that type of thing.
Interesting. In the shiur yesterday where we were talking about Amalek and how Amalek is
Mevazik,
the destruction of any sense of internal compass. And,
right.
And once that happens, and it's not a destruction in like sort of an overt frontal way, it's
right.
An insidious,
right.
Cynical destruction.
Right.
Ray mentioned busha at the very beginning, but it wasn't clear to me how that fit into the broader context. Like, is Amalek mentioned as an Am that has no busha?
Well, in a certain sense, Zurek, Mila Kavshmai, there was a certain bedafka to it. It was something which is, which I guess if Maamar HaSinai gave Klal Yisrael the mitzvah of busha, and they were come to b'ikur it, that's what this. I can't tell you for sure. I don't
recall. The whole notion of the Asmonim that they just came in,
right,
without any busha.
Nobody has more without any fright. They sort of wanted to destroy the quote unquote myth. Of God and so on. So even if they fail, but the myth is gone.
But see, in my mind, that's much more frontal than the undermining of norms. In other words, the undermining of norms. That was a direct attack. It was the.
But the direct attack wasn't so much. It wasn't aimed at winning of God, so which they couldn't, they wouldn't, they knew that. It was more like they're not invincible. It's like it could be attacked. You may lose, but it's not above reproach.
So the connection there to busha would be.
Like, let me give you a muscle. Imagine the Queen of England was always considered to be above any reproach and so on. Let's say a newspaper puts out a smear article, Tabloid puts a smear article. So everybody says no, oy oy oy, terrible, chilla malka, and so on and so forth. But you do succeed and say, okay, it can be done. It she's not above criticism. It's wrong and it's terrible. That, but the difference between being unreproachable to being it's not wrong is a huge difference. It was not something, things that were religious, divine, were considered to be above any reproach. And then It changed. Just like, the, you know, when things stop becoming holy, then that destroys it.
Amali,
did you say
that they cooled off the
bath
water, right? Does it mean that it wasn't hot? It just was cooler.
It goes into the... Let me give you an example. I want to give an example. You know, when you have a lot of people, unfortunately, sitting in jail for white-collar crimes from people. So, how does it affect me? The answer is, it used to be unthinkable. It's not unthinkable. It's a decision. I remember I was once... There was a very fine person. His name was... Morris, I'm going to say. He was an accountant, well-to-do man. He had a lot of stuff. He was a really nice person, but grew up in the press, really hard, tough kind of, you know, tachlis business type in person. That was his personality. His wife was gentle. She's still alive. Awesome, gentle, sweet, etc. So I was driving the car, and we're talking, and I told him that, you know, one of my friends in school is sitting for white collar crime. He made $5 million in insider trading, and he got 4 years for that. So he starts saying, "Okay, that's 5 years. 4 years. That's 1.25. It's tax free, probably, and this and that. Da da da." And it makes all cheshbin. And his wife said, "Morris." And he said, no, I didn't say you should do it. I was just trying to work out the myth from an accounting perspective. And she was, you know, she was quite upset. But the point was, let's give an example. I always say, you know, hardcore schmutz is one problem, but you know this is hardcore. Person reads novels, regular stuff. And almost in every novel, somebody's mizanet. Not they don't describe it, nothing, but somebody's having an affair somewhere. So what happens is you say to yourself, it used to be that having an affair is unthinkable, and only a peshea garua he does it. To saying yourself, it's a normal part of life, but amich kulam tzaddikim when we don't do it. The shift between something being unthinkable to something being part of life is huge. And that's a big, big difference. You know, it's going from being a big wall, to a Trumpian side wall, to a sign, do not trespass. That's a big difference. You know,
like,
what?
I've heard, like, you know, like, joke about, like, divorce with your wife.
Joke about what?
Divorce with your wife.
You know what? Yeah, it's something. The minute you cross, the minute something becomes thinkable, it enters something else.
So, Victor Miller, that's all. Used to say, never say the word divorce. It was like laws of marriage. Don't even say the word. It's right. Like some argument.
Okay, we'll hold it here. So I'll put him a freilich and purim, and good.
Next week.
Yeah, I should be good for another 2 or 3 weeks.